Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org for more information on our fully interactive online yeshiva. The past few weeks, we've started looking at the Mizmorei Tehillim, which we say for Kabbalat Shabbat, at the beginning of every Shabbat. We already looked at Mizmor Tzadihe and Tzadivav, and today I'd like to look at Mizmor Tzadizayin. As I've mentioned in the previous podcasts, these mizmorim are a group, right? They were a group of mizmorim. They were associated together even before they were used for Kabbalat Shabbat, and this is because of the shared themes between them. So in this mizmor, right, in Mizmor Tzadi Zayin, like in Tzadi He and Tzadi Vav, we see many of the same themes that we've spoken about in the past few weeks. The idea that Hashem is the king of the world, the creator of the world, the judge of all of the earth, that he metes out justice, right? He makes sure that justice is done, right? That Am Yisrael and the whole world recognize or will recognize this fact, right, that Hashem is all of these things, and that therefore they have to sing out in praise or in thanks of Hashem, right? These are themes that are found in all three of these mizmorim, to varying extents. Some mizmorim emphasize them more, some mizmorim emphasize them less, but they're present in all three of the mizmorim. What I would like to do today, after quickly reading through the mizmor, is to focus on one particular thought, something which we haven't looked at in the other mizmorim. So first, let's take a look at the mizmor together. Hashem malach tagel haaretz yismichu iyim rabim. And Hashem reigns, the earth, the land, therefore, will rejoice. Right, and the parallel to that, yismichu iyim rabim, iyim, being parallel to Aretz, will also be happy. Then from Pasuk Bet begins a description of Hashem, right? What kivyachol Hashem looks like, an image of Hashem. Anan va'arafel sevivav, tzedek u'mishpat mechon kiso. Right, Anan and Arafel, clouds, fog and mist surround him, surround Hashem, right? Almost like a cloak, right? Perhaps like a king with the kingly garments. Tzedek u'mishpat mechon kiso, right? His chair, right? The royal throne is tzedek u'mishpat, right? That's an idea that we spoke about in last week's podcast, right? That Hashem's malchut, his kingship, is based on tzedek u'mishpat, righteousness and justice. Eish lefanav telech v'tilahit saviv tzarav. Fire goes before him and kind of burns all of the tzarim, all of the enemies around. He'iru v'rakav tevel, his barak, his lightning, right, which he sends forth, lights up the earth. Ra'ata v'tachel ha'aret, and when the earth sees this, v'tachel, right, it shakes, right, the land shudders. Harim kadonag namasu milifnei Hashem, the mountains melt like wax from before God, milifnei Adon kol haaretz, right, before the Lord of all the earth. Hagidu hashamayim tzidko, the heavens, and you know, most of the mefarshim, most of the commentaries explain not merely the sky, but the tzva hashamayim, right, the heaven and all that is in the heavens, right, the stars, the moon, the sun, the planets, etc., speak of Hashem tzedek, right, of his righteousness. V'ra'u chol ha'amim kevodo, right, and therefore all of the amim, all of the nations of the world, see his glory. Yevoshu kol ovdei pesel hamitalalim ba'alilim, right, all of those who worship psalim, right, and avodah zarah, all those who worship other gods, right, kind of dry up. Sorry, will be embarrassed, right? Milashon busha, not milashon yavesh, that they will be embarrassed because Hishtachavu lo kol Elohim. All those who they see as Elohim are bowing down to God. Shama v'tismach Tzion v'tagelna benot Yehuda leman mishpatecha Hashem. Right? I'm here specifically talking about Am Yisrael. Right? Tzion, benot Yehuda, will hear and rejoice when they hear of this. Ki ata Hashem elyon al kol haaretz meod na'aleta al kol Elohim. Right? Because you, God, right, their God, the God of Yisrael, is the supreme God, right? Is the one that is above all these other supposed gods. Ohave Hashem sinura. Right now, the Mishorer speaks out to the Ohave Hashem, those who love Hashem, that they should hate evil. Shomer nafshot chasidav miyad rishaim yatsidem. The Ohave Hashem, those who love Hashem, should continue on the path of good, right, and to hate bad, to hate evil, because Hashem watches over those who follow him, right, and he will save them from the Rishaim. Or Zarua Latzadik Uli Yishrelev Simcha, right, there is happiness and light for those, for the Tzadikim, for the Yishrelev, for the good people. Simchu Tzadikim Vahashem. Right, that the tzaddikim should rejoice in God and should sing songs of thanks to His holiness. Okay, that's a general overview of this mizmor. What I'd like to concentrate on today, right, the one issue within this mizmor I'd like to look at, is this idea of the nations of the world recognizing Hashem. And specifically, the nations of the world recognizing Hashem within the context of what's going on in this mizmor. How is Hashem portrayed in this mizmor? And what is it about that portrayal? What is it about that way of Hashem revealing himself that influences the nations of the world to recognize him? Right? So if you look back at this description, right, which starts in Pasuk Bet, right, we see basically Hashem being described in terms of the phenomena of nature. Now, this is something that's fairly common in Tanakh, right? You see it all over the place, right? And what my question is, what is it about this particular description, about this revelation of Hashem, this way of Hashem revealing himself in the world, that had any particular influence over the nations? Just to refresh your memory, how is Hashem described? Right, he is wrapped up in anan va'arafel, right, in clouds and in mist. Fire goes out before him that burns everything around it. Right, he sends out lightning, right, which causes the earth to tremble. The mountains melt before him. Right, and the Shamayim speaks of his righteousness, right? All the different parts of the world, the Shamayim, the Aretz, different things in the world are all surrounding Hashem and somehow speaking of his greatness. Right? So again, this idea that Hashem is revealed through natural phenomena, right, is found throughout the Torah, throughout the Tanakh. Right, so what is it that impresses the nations of the world here? After all, right, the nations of the world that we're speaking of in this mizmor, right, are people from ancient times, right, who were idol worshippers, who were pagans, right, who believed in many gods. But whatever the beliefs of these people were, right, these were not people who were blind to the awesomeness and the overwhelmingness of the phenomena of nature. Right? If anything, the opposite. Right, people who lived in the ancient world, part of the cause, if you want to say it in that way, of idolatry, of paganism, was the overwhelmingness of nature. Right? People who back then were exposed much more than we are today, certainly those of us who live in developed countries, to the whims of nature, to the overpowering effects of nature, right, were the very people who were likely to see in each natural phenomenon a great power, a god, right? So that is why in pagan idolatrous societies, whichever particular pagan belief system it was, have a whole array of gods, each one in control of a different natural phenomenon. You had the god of thunder, the god of rain, the god of the mountains, the god of the seas, of the rivers, all the various parts of the world, right? Heaven and earth were controlled by different gods. Now, in some cases, there might be a god who's controlled over things that are associated together. I'm saying this as an example, not a real example necessarily. I'm not an expert in pagan gods, but one could imagine there might be a society where the rain god and the thunder god were one and the same. Okay, for example. The idolatry stemmed from the fact that these people were very much aware of the natural phenomena around them, and aware of the control that these natural phenomena can have over their lives, and therefore they would worship these various gods in their hope of being able to control what could probably often felt like a very chaotic existence. One only has to imagine, right? We today look up at the sky and we can be impressed or awed or inspired by the stars in the sky. If you imagine what the sky looked like to people back then who didn't have electricity and didn't have modern cities which dim the awesomeness of the heavens, right? Where the stars just loomed over you. I don't know if anybody's ever seen pictures of this, but they have pictures of what the sky looks like when it's not faded out by modernity. It was completely overwhelming. And while it might not make their beliefs any more correct, it certainly makes them understandable. Right? When you have those heavenly bodies looming over you in such a powerful way, one can only understand better why somebody might attribute to them divine power, right? So this is the population that we're talking about here when we talk about the nations of the world, right? The ones who are now being won over to this idea that Hashem is the God of all of the earth. So what is it about this description of God through nature that's impressing them so much, right? What is being described here that's different than their perception of the world beforehand? The Malbim explains what is going on here in a very interesting way. The Malbim says on Pasuk He, and again I'll read Pasuk He to you, Harim kadonag namasu, the mountains melt like wax, midifnei Hashem, before Hashem, midifnei Adon kol ha'aretz. So on the words midifnei Adon kol ha'aretz, the Malbim explains, Virotzelomar ki ba'ale hatzava, right? So this refers to the Sabians, right? The Savaim in Hebrew. I don't have this is not the context to go into detail to what they are. They were apparently some sort of religious group, monotheistic in its origins, but somehow started worshiping God through angels, and somehow, this in some cases I think developed into a variety of avodah zarah, of paganism. Why the Malbim chooses specifically to pin his ideas on this group and not idol worshippers or pagans in general, I'm not entirely sure. Perhaps it had something to do with ideas that were circulating during his time. But anyway, he speaks of these people, yachasu kol toldot hateva livnei elim, right? That they would attribute all of the things that would go on in nature, all natural phenomena, to bnei elim, right, angels of sorts, sheyichsu lahem koach elohut, right, and they would attribute to them divine power. V'hayu miyachadim lekol koach tivi elil miyuchad moshel alav, right? That they would attribute to each natural power, each natural phenomena, an elil, right? A demigod, some sort of god, who would control it. V'chein l'chol medina ve'aklim adon acher, and therefore for each state, meaning for each country, for each land, there would be a separate god, and for each aklim, right, each climate, I assume he means again each phenomena in weather throughout the world, a different adon, right, a different lord, shehu kochav miyuchad hamashpia sham, right, and each of these elilim, each of these adonim would control their particular area. V'chi'ilu ha'aretz yesh la adonim rabim. So that it's as if the land, the earth, has many adonim, has many lords, many gods. She'kol echad oseh u'po'el bimkomo, v'al mashehu mimune alav, and each one would kind of function and control the area under his jurisdiction, so to speak. Avalata Yerush, okay, so right, that's how he describes this mistaken belief, right? Again, I'm not sure why he specifically refers to the Savaim and not, pagans in general, which have, has a very similar type of thing. Maybe he's suggesting that even those who are a step closer to monotheism still fall into this problem, right? But then he goes on, aval ata, right? Now, right, after the description in our Mizmor, Yiru shehabrakim v'hamasat harim, eino ba al yedei ha'elilim, ha'elilim v'tivim, rak milifnei Hashem, v'lo bechelek echad min ha'aretz, rak milifnei Adon kol ha'aretz. Right, and now they will recognize that the lightning and the melting of the mountains does not come from elilim, not from these small gods, right, controlling them. Rather, this is all happening milifnei Hashem, right? That it is all coming from one place, from one source. Milifnei Adon kol ha'aretz, right? That it's happening because of one Adon who controls the entire earth. So the Malbim goes on, and he develops his ideas and goes into some other related ideas as well. But what he's describing in this part that I just read is basically that somehow Hashem, as revealed to them here, shows them that the world is not divided amongst Elilim Shonim, right? It's not as if there's a decompartmentalization of nature, of the world, and that each god is responsible or in control of each different part of the world, but rather the whole world is under the control of a single god. And now if you look back at the description, right, one sees how this very idea can stem from what is being described here. Because how is Hashem described? Hashem here is not the god of, let's say, the rain or the mountains or fill in the blank, right? Rather, he is the god in control of all, right? Anan va'arafel, right, surround him. Esh burns around him. Lightning comes out from him. Mountains melt from before him, right? The entire earth trembles before him. So what you're seeing here isn't a god who is in control of one thing. Of one thing. But rather a god who is in control of many different aspects of nature, many different things in the world. When I read this, right, I can't help thinking, for example, of things that we see, even, in our modern experience. The world, right, as we usually live it, experience it, right, does have a certain decompartmentalization of natural phenomena, right? We have rainy days, which have those things which go along with it, and we have snowy days that have things that go along with that, and we have sunny days, which have things. We have seasons that more or less, behave themselves, more or less. Right? That's normal life. And then every once in a while, we have an event, right? A cataclysmic event, which kind of like seems to disrupt our perception of the order of the world, right? So, for example, right, when we have the experience of an earthquake, which then causes a tsunami, which then causes the death of hundreds of thousands of people, which then spreads disease, right? This is kind of like all different things coming together to create a much larger natural phenomenon than we ordinarily experience from day to day, right? Or, right, some of you might recall from a few months ago the eruption of the volcano in Iceland, right, whose name I won't begin to try to pronounce. And if you had a chance when that was all happening to look at some of the pictures and the descriptions of the eruption, right, you didn't just have a volcano, which of course is impressive enough as it is, but you had simultaneously a volcano erupting, right, together with earthquakes, together with floods caused by melting ice caps, and then somehow all of these things together sparking off electrical storms with thunder and lightning. The pictures were nothing less than awesome. And you look at all these things, and you're thinking, these things come together all at once, right? Now, of course, there are natural explanations for these, or scientific explanations for these things, but the effect is overwhelming. And there's this feeling of all sorts of things happening together, right? There's another known phenomenon that when you have hurricanes, right, which if you're caught in the middle of it can be a very destructive thing in of itself, but sometimes on the outskirts of hurricanes, you also have tornadoes, right? And so I remember the first time when I saw that, thinking those things are together, right? It seems to be like too much happening all at once, too many forces working at once. And that's kind of what's being described here. But even for the people in the ancient world, normally, right, most days were days of either rain or sun, right? And of course, they were much more exposed to the natural world. And yet, most of the time things went fairly normally. And then sometimes there would be things that would just like, explode their world in terms of, some major natural or, not perceived as natural, but natural event that would occur, right? So I think that that is what is being described here, right? Hashem is described here as the king of the earth, who isn't just in charge of one small aspect, but rather he's in charge of all of these things, right? Of the clouds, of the fire, of the melting mountains, which many Mefarshim see as describing a volcano, right? All of these things coming together, which show, right, as the Malbim points out, that the boundaries aren't as clear cut as the pagans thought, right? You can have different aspects of the world affecting each other, right? Or as the Mizmor is trying to explain it, different aspects of the world that are all under the control of Hashem, right? And so it is this image of Hashem which can completely change the perspective of these nations of the world. Right? This idea, right, of course, is things that show up in other places in Tanakh. So for example, right, in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, right, where the Egyptians, who were, after all, pagans, who had a very, very organized belief system of how different gods are associated with different aspects of their world, during the plagues, during the Aseret HaMakot, right, and I'm not the first to, many before me explain this in much more detail than I'm going to right now. Each Makkah showed how this one God, right, this one big guy who's fighting for Am Yisrael, manages to control all these different decompartmentalized aspects of the Egyptians' world, right? The same God who can control their river, which was a god for them, and affected who lived and who died, as we see, for example, in Makat Bechorot, and right, in many different of the Makot. Again, don't have time to go into all the details. I'm assuming this is somewhat familiar, right? This one god was able to affect all of these different areas, showing to the Mitzrim, right? That this decompartmentalization is incorrect, and that it's really one God who controls it all, right? And that you see throughout the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, where the psukim say in continuing escalation, right? That the first set of the Makot, it says, "V'yedu'uki ani Hashem," right after the first set of in connection with the first set of the Makot, that the Mitzrim will know that Hashem is Hashem. For the second group of mitzvot, "V'yedu ki ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz," that I am God in the land, meaning I control what is going on in the land. And then for the third set of Makot, "Ki ein kamoni bekerev ha'aretz," right? There is none other like me, right? I am more powerful than their gods, right? So that Hashem in this revelation in Mitzrayim is revealed. But how does he get across to the other nations, or in this case, the other nation, by showing that he's in control of everything, despite what they previously believed, right? And this is also similar to what is probably the most central example of God's revelation in the Torah, that of course being Matan Torah, right? In that central moment when Hashem reveals himself to Am Yisrael, he does so. Through a revelation that is described in terms very similar to what we read in our Mizmor, right? That Hashem, what do we have at Har Sinai? We have a shaking mountain with smoke and arafel, fog and mist and clouds on the mountain, and kolotu brakim, thunder and lightning, right? Again, showing Hashem's all-powerfulness, in his ability to control all phenomena, all aspects of the world. So again, for those of us who are sort of dulled by our modern perception, despite the fact that these cataclysmic type of natural events do also awe us, but to a certain degree, we are dulled by this. But for people back in those days, this was a major revelation in both senses of the words, right? That there is one power that controls all of these things, and that it's not that the world is divided among different powers. Just for one sentence, put this back into the context of Kabbalat Shabbat, right? Once again, we see the appropriateness, right? Throughout all of these Mizmorim, the idea of Hashem being the creator and the king of all of the world, right? So here we see another aspect of that, right? Hashem as the God of all of creation, right? And not merely the God of one little aspect of it. Wishing all of you a Shabbat Shalom u'mivorach.